On this episode of The Edge Candidate Marketing, Vishal Gupta, Practice Director at Everest Group, joins ClearEdge Senior Vice President Michelle Creer for an in-depth conversation on the challenges today's enterprise organizations face in the talent acquisition landscape, the value rewards and recognition programs can bring to overall employee experiences, and global talent trends that are making waves across the industry, including next-gen technology solutions. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, and welcome to The Edge Podcast. I'm Michelle Creer, Senior Vice President at ClearEdge Marketing. And joining me today is Vishal Gupta, Practice Director at Everest Group. Welcome, Vishal.
Thank you, Michelle.
So at Everest Group, I know you're focused on helping your clients with several different initiatives to learn how to drive and adopt global services strategies, navigate complex business transformation, harness emerging technologies and develop effective approaches for disruptive business models as new sources of growth and competitive differentiation. No easy task whatsoever. In your role as practice director, tell us, what do you specifically oversee and what are some things people may not know about your role there?
Yes, and you know, indeed, it is no easy task. But, you know, for someone like me who lives and breathes talent, I always look forward to these discussions. So, you know, coming to my role within Everest Group, my focus is to track the entire talent acquisition services market. And this includes all kinds of talent, you know, be it permanent full-time hires, be it temp hires, be it freelancers, or SOW consultants. So naturally, you know, RPO, recruitment process outsourcing, and MSP, the managed service providers, these are my key focus markets. But also track some of the allied markets like, you know, rewards and recognition, the R&R, and the benefits administration outsourcing, the BAO. So we publish a lot of reports and thought leadership pieces around this space and also work in an advisory construct across multiple different client sets. So to give you an example, you know, we frequently work with a lot of companies who provide these services. We call them service providers. You know, we help them understand what the buyers are demanding, what kind of solution offerings they should have, what should be their grow-to-market strategy, which buyer segments or geographies they should target. We also work with a lot of enterprises who consume these services. You know, we call them as buyers. We work with them, you know, in helping them understand what kind of functions should they outsource. Should they outsource the entire recruitment part of it? We help them in selecting the right service provider for them. And what people generally don't know is that we also work with a lot of investors, the private equity firms. So, you know, more recently, there's been increased interest from these private equity firms to invest in this space. So we help them understand the market dynamics and also conduct some of the, you know, strategic due diligences for them.
Fantastic. So you offer something for everybody, in essence.
Absolutely.
So I heard you mention rewards and recognition, and that's something that I wanted to dig in with you on a bit further. And obviously, employee experience is becoming an increasingly important parameter within HR. So companies are spending a lot of time trying to find and attract talent to their organization, whether those be direct hire employees, whether those be contractors. They're spending a lot of time focused on that. And what happens then is they get them on board and then they move on to who else do I need to hire in or to attract? And I feel like there's a big gap there because obviously keeping those people engaged in the organization is just as crucial. Otherwise, you've got this revolving door. So obviously with rewards and recognition getting a lot of traction as a potential lever to drive up engagement and experience. Talk with us a little bit about how Everest Group views that. I know you just released a report about that topic, so maybe you could talk a little bit about those findings that were included in the report.
Absolutely, and you are bang on. You know, a better employee experience and increased employee engagement are at the core of the R&R value proposition. And, you know, from our recent study, you know, what we unearthed is that a lot of organizations are still facing several challenges in implementing their R&R programs. So these challenges, you know, include adapting to the evolving technology, lack of effective branding, emerging needs in the form of variety in rewards, in reward merchandise, variety in the recognition programs, And they are also facing challenges, you know, with the constantly changing nature of the workforce. So, Vishal, if you really see, today's workforce comprises of four different generations. And the nature of employment itself, it varies across the enterprise. So the rewards and recognition strategy should meet the requirements, you know, for all these different generations, for different kind of talent. And that includes, you know, both salaried employee as well as a contingent worker. So the challenges abound in the space, but we also feel that these challenges present a golden opportunity for the R&R outsourcing service providers. They can step in and help enterprises by tailoring their offerings to evolving buyer needs. This means, you know, deploying next generation R&R solutions that includes advanced analytics, that includes chatbots, that includes mobile responsive solutions that can touch each and every aspect of the employee experience.
And it is really interesting because you mentioned the different generations, and even, I mean, there's so many similarities there when it comes to recruiting talent. You've got to figure out, you know, what might be appealing and where millennials might be looking for jobs, and where you might be able to reach them is very different from where somebody who's a little more senior might be. And the same thing for rewards and recognition, it sounds like. There's not a one size fits all, and different groups and demographics of people are going to want different things and be motivated by different things. It sounds like what you're saying.
Absolutely, absolutely. You need to tailor to each employee set, if I call it. And you need to see, you know, what matters most to them, what kind of things will appeal to them, and then you need to tailor your offerings accordingly.
Excellent. So I know that you and Everest are highly invested in tracking global employment trends. Can you share a little bit about what you're seeing in terms of how employers are investing in their candidate recruitment efforts globally?
Sure. You know, talent is at the core. You know, if we look at, you know, really today's time, we have moved beyond the resources, we have moved beyond the industrial, you know, revolution. It is time when, you know, talent is the single biggest source of differentiation. And, you know, the spotlight is on the talent acquisition or the HR function. And in this age where an intense war for talent is going on, there are in fact, you know, multiple areas which the talent acquisition function needs to look at. But if I have to talk about, you know, some of the most important ones, you know, the first one will come around, you know, candidate attraction. So, you know, the unemployment being at an all-time low, especially in US, it is becoming really difficult to attract quality candidates, especially the high-skilled, hard-to-find niche roles. And this is where, you know, the employers are investing in developing a stronger employer brand, in developing stronger, maybe technology capabilities to attract these candidates. The second one is a related one around candidate engagement and experience, and this is something similar to, you know, what the people need to do on the R&R side. But on the talent acquisition side, the whole cycle of the first touch point with the candidate to the final offer letter management and onboarding, there are a lot of steps in between where the lead can get cold. So you need to have a very good or a constant candidate experience. And you know, this is also important when it comes to the high quality hires, because they'll also not only see the job role that they are going to get into, but they'll also look at, you know, what is the kind of experience or what is the kind of brand that the employer holds in the market when it comes to, you know, attracting these candidates. And thirdly, with the whole digital disruption, you know, I can talk about R for digital. But buyers are really struggling to look at how the different technologies can come into the picture. So the immediate investment from their side is to create a holistic, integrated technology ecosystem. So be it the ATS VMS, be it the CRMs, be it the HRIS, or be it the other tools. They want to integrate them, create a holistic ecosystem where they can get one single point of truth for everything, as well as they can capture the data from all these different systems to generate the right kind of insights, which can then help to improve their strategy for talent acquisition.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you're talking that through, I'm thinking about, which is leading me into my next question, actually, thinking about how companies can get their arms around all of this. And one of the one of the ways that we see them doing this is to utilize a company that does recruitment process outsourcing, or RPO. And my background prior to coming to ClearEdge was the head of marketing for one of the industry leading RPOs. So I have a very in-depth knowledge of how RPOs work and what benefits they bring, from instituting best practices to keeping clients up on technologies, and you know, all of those things continues to change and evolve. And I know that according to Everest Group, it's one of the fastest growing outsourcing segments today. And I think I'd read it's the growth is somewhere around 15% consistently for the past 3 years. So as companies look to continue to tap into providers such as RPOs to help them with all of these talent attraction needs, from sourcing all the way through onboarding, you know, their tech stack, all of those things. Tell us a little bit about some of the transformations that you've seen in the last few years when it comes to RPO and what's to come.
You know, RPO is a fascinating space, and it has come a long way. The industry has evolved a lot. If I look back, you know, 10 years back, the industry was just booming. It was nascent. There was a lot of adoption. But fast forward, in today's time, a lot of changes that has happened. And if I have to, you know, cover the market comprehensively, I would say I would put the changes in three key buckets. The first one is the buyers, the consumers of RPO services. We feel they've become more demanding. So if you look at, you know, 5 years back, the key drivers for RPO were, you know, providing greater flexibility and scalability in an you know, volatile economic environment. It was around, you know, improving their recruitment processes, which can lead to more efficient processes and can also lead to cost savings. Mm-hmm. But in today's time, you know, these traditional drivers have become sort of table stakes. What the buyers are really demanding are they want their RPO service provider to become their strategic partners. They don't want them to be just a vendor who helps source or find talent for them. They want them to be their strategic partners. They want them to look at additional services like employer branding, which would help strengthen their brand in the market. They want to look at, you know, building talent communities where they can source not only active but passive candidates as well. Mm-hmm. They want them to provide analytics, workforce planning, forecasting solutions. So they've really become demanding, you know, when it comes to the services that they seek. The second is the competition in the industry. So this is the sell side. The competition in the industry has really intensified. Not only there are new players who have entered the market, but we also see significant investments from the existing well-established, you know, RPO service providers. And these investments are generally around, you know, expanding their solution offerings or their service delivery locations or covering different geographies. And the interesting part is, you know, the high interest shown by the investor community has given further impetus to this. So you know, as a matter of fact, in the last 1 year, we ourselves have worked with several PE firms, you know, who have invested in these RPO service providers to help them understand the market, help conducting due diligence of the service provider targets. So this is something we are seeing on the competition side. And lastly, you know, the third point, and this is something which I cannot miss, and I've already spoken about it, you know, the whole digital piece, you know, it's mm-hmm. disrupting how the talent is engaged and acquired. And when I say digital, you know, I mean the whole gamut of next gen technology solutions. So I'm not looking at the ATS, VMS, or the CRM. What I'm really talking about is the advanced analytics. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the robotic process automation, RPA. I'm talking about cognitive AI. These set of new tools and digital levers are not only helping improve the efficiency of the existing processes, but they're also helping to improve the candidate experience. They're helping provide better insights to the talent acquisition functions. To further streamline their strategy for talent acquisition.
Mm-hmm. Well, and speaking of AI, it's something that I hear all the time. So every conference I've been to this year in particular, AI is top of mind. And those sessions are the most highly attended, and they usually run long because there's so many questions. And it's something that I think employers in general are trying to get their arms around. How does artificial intelligence and candidate engagement work together? And I know that that's something that all of you at Everest Group are keeping top of mind as well. So I was reading a blog post on your site recently, and something jumped out at me. It said, our AI research makes it clear that AI for AI with increasingly minimal human intervention has moved from concept to reality. And again, you know, everything that I'm listening to and reading out there, people are saying, well, how can we actually make this work for our organization? How can we start to use AI and machine learning, and how does it further enable what we're doing, or how can it solve a problem that we have right now? So as Everest looks at this, what does this mean for the future of work? And what should employers understand about incorporating AI into their business processes?
You know, to answer this question, you know, I start with a very famous quote from a renowned researcher and scientist. He's called Roy Charles Damara. The quote is, you know, we tend to overestimate the effects of technology in the short run and underestimate the effect in the long run.
Yeah.
What we really wanted to send the message is, you know, people generally look at all the new technologies from a very short-term perspective. What they really need to look at it is how the technology or how the role of technology will pan out in the long run. So when you talk about future of work, you know, if you look at current organizations, if you look at their organization structure, you know, it's typically a triangle structure, right? The entry level roles, the more transactional roles, they make the base of the structure of the organization, and mm-hmm. this is the biggest base. And then you have the middle management and the senior management. But with the whole AI and the automation piece coming in, you know, our hypothesis at Everest Group is this organization structure is bound to change, and it will change into something like a diamond, you know, with a middle heavy structure. And the reason is, you know, the more entry level, the more transactional roles, they'll get automated. You know, the AI, ML, these things will replace the bots, the chatbots will come in. And the more judgmental tasks, you know, which lies with the middle management, the senior management, that is where the people will move into. So with this change in organization structure, what it really means for the people or the employees who are working in, the organization or the enterprise now needs to look at, you know, upskilling their talent. You know, the entry-level roles or the more transactional roles, they need to upskill their talent to go into the more judgmental roles. And there's the whole learning, the training, everything comes into the picture. The second is the reskilling of talent. Now, you know, you would have heard a lot of talk around, you know, automation cutting jobs and all that stuff. But from my perspective, frankly, you know, we don't feel that the technology or the automation will really lead to loss in jobs. But what we feel is people would need to be reskilled to actually manage these technologies, which means, you know, new jobs will open up. So one thing that will happen for sure is there will be some transactional entry-level roles that will be replaced by bots, for sure. But then another set of roles, the jobs will open up, which will include, you know, managing these technologies, creating these technologies. And this is where the enterprise would need to reskill their talent to manage them. And you know, you would already view or seen the market. There's a lot of demand around, you know, automation experts, ML experts, you know, AI experts. So this is where we feel, you know, the whole upskilling, reskilling game will get into.
Absolutely. And as someone, you know, I have two young boys, and just thinking about what they're going to do someday for work is mind-boggling, because I hear stats all the time that there are so many jobs that are going to need to be filled that don't exist right now, that aren't traditional, right? So some of those traditional ones will still be there. But as AI, as, you know, all of this technology continues to evolve, there are going to be positions that we're not even thinking about right now, right? So trying to think about how do you educate that future generation of workforces to ensure that they're ready and able to make an impact on organizations is, you know, is something that I think is super interesting to think about. So on that note, what are some trends you see coming down the pipeline for 2019?
You know, the biggest one is the digital, and I've already talked about it. The second one is, you know, which is again something that has been the talk of the town, is around holistic workforce management, what people call as total talent acquisition. And this is where, you know, the organization is taking a unified view of talent. So they are not looking RPO for just permanent full-time hire acquisition, or they are looking at MSP for contingent worker acquisition. They are looking at their talent holistically. It doesn't matter if it's a permanent or a contingent worker. And what would this mean is the internal organization, the HR who looks at the permanent, the procurement who looks at the contingent, really coming together to build an integrated talent acquisition function. And again, the way they engage with service providers would, again, we will be in a manner where the service providers looked at the entire talent for the organization. And then again, frankly, this kind of an approach has multitude of benefits. Not only it provides numerous cost savings, but it also provides a more lean and more efficient structure to the organization. Because with the whole view into the entire talent of their organization, they can take much better decisions as to if there is a new skill set they need, what kind of talent is the most relevant here? Is it a permanent? Is it a temporary? Is it a freelancer? Is it a SOW? So total talent acquisition is something which will become big in the coming years, and we see already a lot of organizations as well as players investing big into the TTA space.
It's definitely an interesting space to keep an eye on. And as someone who works in it every day, as you do, I think it's fascinating to see how things have changed up to this point and where they're heading moving forward. So I get excited about work each and every day, and I'm guessing you do as well, as I can hear that passion coming through as you're answering my questions. So I've really enjoyed our conversation. Before I let you go, I wanted to let you put out there for our listeners how they can get in touch with you. Obviously, you and others at Everest have a lot of really great insights. And for people who may not be connected with you already or may not have spoken with you up to this point in time, how can people get in touch with you?
So people can get in touch with me through my LinkedIn profile. I love these kind of conversations. Anyone, you know, who is interested to, you know, even just want to have a chat around the talent acquisition or what kind of trends they are seeing, I'm happy to do that. You can reach me out, you know, on my LinkedIn profile by just looking at Vishal Gupta from Everest Group, and I'll be happy to talk to you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Vishal. I really enjoyed the conversation today, and thank you for joining us on The Edge.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, at clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.